Oregon, Washington, and Illinois.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Yeah, Aikman sounds like he wants to take Jones and just destroy him. My favorite, well, it's a tie between Aikman and Staubach is my favorite Cowboys of all time, so I listen to anything Aikman says, and he just is so disgusted right now. You just tell he just wants Jerry to, like, hire a coach if you're going to do that, and then get out of the way.
And get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Stop being involved here, which will never happen. That's the problem. I you know, as a Cowboy fan, you hold out hope he'll actually get someone legit, but no one legit's going to work in that system, I don't think, if, in fact, they believe he will run the team. We said it was an incredible job everyone would want. I don't know if totally legitimate people would want it only because of his interference, right? I mean, if I'm Urban Meyer, I'm like, yeah, I'll take the job. Now you're going to go up to the suite and sit there with son Steven and let me run everything. But who believes Jerry will do that?
Jerry's not in the business to do that. Jerry's in the business to do what he wants to do. And he makes up his own rules. And whoever they find up in there will have a stick up his back because he'll be nothing more than a puppet. And joining us now is Dr. Caleb Pinneger, Southern Nevada sports injury expert with Crivetti Orthopedics. Go online, CrivettiOrtho.com, as a Vegas sports doc here with us on Twitter. Good morning, sir. How are you?
What's up, doctor?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, you're not good now because as a good friend to you, I refuse to shake your hand fighting something. Clay, of course, fighting something, gave you a big hug and a shake of the hand. So
yeah,
obviously,
awesome.
5 hours from now, you'll be cursing him as we all do.
He always leaves it open for like a hug or a bro hug or something. He's like, I couldn't deny him of that.
Right? Come over here. And then Ed's like, you shouldn't have done that.
You shouldn't have done that. Especially when we're no antibiotic people. Good to have you in again. Awesome job. Follow him on Twitter at VegasSportsDoc. Also, VegasSportsDoc.com for all your Crivetti Ortho, knee, elbow, shoulder, sports medicine. Okay, so Raiders are coming in 2020, and the starting running back will be Josh Jacobs. He's their star now. But he has been playing with a shoulder injury, supposedly since week 8 on Snapchat, and we sent you this, I think. It was some kind of image. I assumed it was some x-ray. When I saw it, I'm like, I didn't even know what that was, but I think he had some kind of line there where it's been playing with, it's broken or it's broken. So right away I thought, by the way, this guy's, one, he's playing really well for a broken shoulder, but two, I also thought, and this is why we wanted to ask you off the top, that could be, I assume, varying degrees of what this guy could really have. So in your mind, given how well he's played, and I know you haven't obviously examined him, what could it be that would allow him to continue to play, not only play, but produce while he plays?
Yeah, so in the photograph, I mean, you get a glimpse on Snapchat what he's dealing with. He's got a big ice bag on the very top of the shoulder, and it's fun reading all the comments. They're like, you can't break your shoulder. It's a joint. So the shoulder, everybody talks about. There's three big bones in the shoulder. You got the collarbone, you got the shoulder blade, and then you have the humerus. So all those three together, if you break your shoulder, nobody knows which of those three you might be talking about.
Sure.
Right. You know? And so it could be any of those, but where he's positioned that ice bag, I mean, we're speculating. That's all.
Right.
I didn't see an image of what his bones looked like, but something, he's ice in the very tip top of the shoulder, your collarbone, your shoulder blade, those are the two things are right there. Did he have a little sprain of his AC joint with a small fracture, like a little avulsion? The ligament kind of tugged a piece of bone. Did he chip a piece off of the outside of the shoulder blade? He had a couple injuries where he took a big hit, and that was what started this process. And it sounds like now, greater than 6 weeks, he's been roughing through it.
Yeah.
And having a still an amazing season, so clearly, they wouldn't let him play if he had broken, like, the joint of the shoulder. If he had broken where the ball or the socket is, that'd be a no-go. But if he's got a little chip on the top, they'll let him play. They'll just pat it up, and it'll hurt like crazy. So,
is that what they're doing? Probably after that Green Bay game, as you noted in October, that maybe just as little by little, these little details start coming out. Like you said, maybe like a chip, and then it starts to, can chips eventually go into like cracks? You know, I'm thinking of like like a windshield crack or something like that. I mean, can these spiders go out through a bone? Because he's constantly going through compressions, and he is a hard runner. He doesn't shy away from contact.
Yeah, it really depends where such a chip is. For example, like if you're talking to a person who's a runner and they get a stress fracture in their leg, it starts as not even really much of a crack in the bone, but if you got an MRI, there's some edema, some swelling in it. Now, this is a little different because where he's pointing to and what's happened, likely there's a little bit of a, started with a contusion, started with a little fleck of bone, and the likelihood of that progressing is not so good. It'll just continue to be sore until you give it the proper time off, which he can't do till a little bit later.
4 games from now, but we think. You also said perhaps, I was in Green Bay. He's saying it was week 7 or 8. I do remember a time in the Green Bay game in Lambeau, he went off. They were kind of working his shoulder. The tent went up. you said there's a good a chance at least at that point they would shoot him up with something that would not, without kind of doing the full examination, what does that do? That just kind of numbs the area, put it back on, let's go, and we'll see after the game?
Exactly. There's high dose, there's basically injectable ibuprofen, and then there's injectable numbing agents, which just mask it. You're not promoting healing, you're just, hey, we're going to try to make you comfortable. That way, when someone smacks you on this thing, it won't hurt so bad, but go for it.
Can you bring some of those in? I'd like numbing agents.
Is that what you do with the bursitis? Do you get injections with that? Is that what he gave you?
No. It's not bursitis, but nothing will help us now. I mean,
there's no numbing medicine that helps.
No numbing medicine that's going to help. I just want to put it right in my brain, though.
There you go.
Just make
right
my brain
comfortable. That must work fast, though.
Oh, yeah,
that injectable ibuprofen, that thing is like obviously. Because he was in a couple plays later out of the tent, and he was in.
You get relief fast. The numbing agents are active in a couple of minutes.
Oh, wow.
And so you're usually masking it and ready to go pretty soon.
I'm going to stay with the Raiders theme here. When Hunter Renfrow broke his rib and punctured his lung, and that never sounds good, the Raiders appear to say, okay, he had a nice rookie season. We're done now. We have to shut him down. He broke a rib. At least one, and he punctured a lung. Yesterday in Oakland, John Gruden told the beat writers up there, hey, we're getting along without him, but we'd love to have him. We're hoping to have him back for the last two games, which will be 2 weeks from now, be at the Chargers at Denver. I guess the rib didn't surprise me as much because maybe you can put the jacket on him and he can play through that. It was the punctured lung that I'm like, how long does that thing take? That sounds a lot more serious than the rib. And I would assume maybe... Did the rib puncture the lung when it broke? Like, are you surprised they're actually saying this guy could be back in a few weeks?
Yeah, I think a couple of few weeks is pretty early in the spectrum of what you'd think that would happen. Now, I mean, broken ribs, people get their ribs cracked, and they wear a pad, like you're saying.
Yeah, put the jacket on and play.
But if the rib gets indented far enough, it'll poke your lung, and your lung's an airbag. If you pop it, the thing deflates, and now you have a collapsed lung on that side. So that's no good.
Right.
And so but if that rib stayed in a poor position and if it continued to irritate the lung, then you got a bigger problem. But if it otherwise, if it's the injury, the trauma that drops the lung versus an actual rib poking the lung, that part we don't quite have all the information on. Did it just collapse because of the impact, or did it collapse because it actually got stabbed? And so,
can you tell by the x-ray on the rib if it's near the lung in terms of it's more dangerous than not if you went out and played?
It would all have to do with the ribs surround the lung, and
right.
So they're right next to it. I mean, the lung is millimeters from that bone. And so with that, if the rib's really out of position,
then
you got a problem.
And especially
if a rib breaks in one place, you got to consider this as a ringed structure. Like if you take your ribs in a circle, they basically go from the breastbone, from the sternum, all the way to the back, and they create a container, like a cylinder. And if you crack those in a couple of places, now they fall in. But if you get a single little crack, then it shouldn't be enough to displace and pop along, but... Pain-wise, he's got to pad that for a while because those hurt for a long time.
It doesn't seem like you're rushing back.
This week.
Yeah, right.
I'm down to one lung.
Your lung's in that Kleenex
I'm down to one lung.
Dr. Pinneger flinched when he started the coughing thing again.
Well, I mean, it's the water. It's getting, you know, I'm on the is it Mucinex? I'm on some non-antibiotic to get things going.
Yeah. Dr. Pinneger is
a huge fan of Bonnie's mantra in our house. Antibiotics last word. For coughs. I mean, I'm sure after surgeries and stuff, you have to give it for infections. But if it's just a normal cough, he's a big fan of water only. Just get this stuff moving and stop with the antibiotics.
Cough or cold, get out and exercise.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't need to be dumping antibiotics right away on that thing.
I didn't say you need to dump antibiotics, but how about like some soothing throat remedies to keep you from hacking 3 hours in my face for 5 days straight?
Right?
And he refuses to. I made him a nice hot herbal tea. Out of hell with it. We're with Dr. Caleb Pinneger.
You've got the weekend to get over it.
I know. Crivetti Orthopedics is a long established. The people in the practice there that's been around for so long, so many families have used it, so many athletes have used it, CrivettiOrtho.com or ICanAgain.com. You can find out for yourself. Look at the testimonials. There's hundreds and hundreds of them of real-life examples from people that are your neighbors here in Southern Nevada, and we have the sports injury expert here, Dr. Caleb Pinneger. We just like going over a lot of the injuries here with you, and because you spent that year with Dr. James Andrews in the fellowship, and you saw so many athletes that came through there, did you ever see an athlete, Trent Brown, size, because you're looking at 6'8", 370 pounds of man.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What happens when he comes in and he has like a pectoral injury and he can't, he has no range of motion on his elbow and shoulder and stuff. What do you do then? I mean, how serious can that be? Because a pectoral issue seems like a tear is on the way. And next thing you know, he's out like for maybe like 8 months or so.
Right. You're talking J.J. Watt just had his repair, right?
Yeah.
So he's out. And so
he's a big boy.
So, yeah, big guys. And yeah, I mean, you're not getting the typical weekend warrior instruments out. You need the horse instruments. You have to go get the big table. You got to get the deep equipment. And,
yeah.
And you're digging. Because, I mean, their shoulder, you know, it's the size of, you know, my torso.
Right. I see him weekly. He is an enormous
he's
human
humongous.
Being. He's humongous.
Yeah. Yeah, he's absolutely huge. And so, I mean, the reports so far gather that he strained it, which, again, we get into partial tear, strain, stretch, as opposed to a full tear. Full tear, it's got to be fixed. You got to go get that. You got to reattach it back, or he won't have the power to be able to maintain his position on the line. And so with that, I mean, if he's got a strain, you're babying it, you're taking it easy, you're doing physical therapy. And if you have to do surgery, you're phoning a friend and saying, hey, can I get your help? Lifting him and holding a retractor and wiping my brow occasionally because I'm going to be sweating on this one.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge. That's a huge guy. But at the same time, the overall injuries, though, for the Raiders, it seems like this time of the year, I mean, when you were working there in Florida, like, I'm sure you were getting all kinds of cases and, like, injuries that are like, all right, you're just going to have to play through this. If unless you really want to go on the IR, you're going to go all the way to the end of the season. And I think you probably noticed that a lot of professional athletes would just prefer to go in that way anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the busiest times are always the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season when everybody's a little bit deconditioned. They
right.
come out, they're going 100%, and everything is sore. And so they're all getting MRIs, and everybody has a little bit of damage, and what's going to be preventative of a good season and what's not. And so that's the critical time. We see so many people 3-4 weeks after an injury, and they're like, it's just not going away yet. And then you dig a little deeper, like, well, I just did start CrossFit, or, oh, I just did a couple of weeks ago start a new workout routine. But otherwise, you're totally right. Delayed after all the impact and repetitions these guys do, delayed in the season, it's just push through it till the end of the season, give it the rest you need.
Okay.
Can you maintain it for a couple more weeks? You
right.
know?
Vikings running back Dalvin Cook, he's played through an SC joint sprain, and we're not sure if the SC joint has anything to do with Clay Helton, who's back as the SC coach, but probably not. What is an SC joint? What
I looked it
mean?
Up. I don't think it is.
I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, SC.
Do we all do Clay and I both have one?
Yeah. You have two.
Oh,
can you believe it?
Yay, baby!
So you guys are
SC
double
joints.
Loaded. I mean,
double loaded on the SC.
Nobody
joint.
Else in town has two.
No, we're
just
the only
you guys.
What in the hell is the SC joint?
So the SC joint, the abbreviation is for sternoclavicular. So it's you hear about the AC joint. That is the outer end of the clavicle, the collarbone, where it meets the shoulder blade. The SC joint is the inner end of the clavicle where the sternum meets where the sternum and the clavicle come together. So SC. So it's basically if you point at your Adam's apple, you drop your fingers down a little bit, you feel two prominences, and that's the joint that you're talking about.
So it's strained. I mean, he's a running back. I know he gets hit and everything, but I don't know. What's if you're a running back, what don't you want to have? Do you want to have Dalvin Cook or do you want to have Josh Jones?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of
Josh Jacobs or Dalvin Cook. I know you don't want either, but like, does one impede a running back more? I'm trying to feel where you said, and I'm like, can't they? I mean, how shoulder pads and everything?
And that's kind of like protecting the heart too, isn't it? Though, so you got to be careful what's below.
And that's
it.
The problem. Yeah. So an SC joint is less commonly injured.
Okay. Yeah,
so,
I never even heard
so
of it.
So if you're going to injure one, it usually means that it was a little bit of a unique injury or just a high enough impact. So I mean, if you were going to pick one, it's less likely to be as severe if it's a SC joint because it's so sturdy and usually stable. But if they go bad, they go bad pretty quickly. Because you're right. I mean, behind that structure, you have your windpipe, you have your arteries, you have your vessels, and so if you happen to make that thing dislocate backwards towards your spine, then you are going to the hospital immediately.
It doesn't appear whether Josh Jacobs listening to you or Dalvin Cook, either of these are surgical procedures. If they're just strained, like this is just these guys need to get to the off season and go to bed.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, and like rest.
The AC joint, I mean, there's a whole spectrum of severities for it. But if you're playing on it, and if it becomes less symptomatic after the season's over, you're fine. SC joint, they, if this was the bad type, they wouldn't be letting him play at all. So it's just playing through it, pushing through it, resting when it's over.
The NFL draft here is in April. I think everyone's looking forward to hosting the NFL draft, and Vegas is going to be a huge, huge show. I think everyone really felt bad when Tua went down for Alabama, because whether you like Alabama or not, the kid's story and who he was and everything, what he represented, was awesome. But he dislocates the hip. He goes in for surgery right away. He had a really good attitude about it on social media. He was at the game the next week. But I saw something yesterday that no one will let him slip past 15. Like, if he's at 15, they're going to say, okay, we're taking him no matter what, because we just can't let him go, you know, later in the draft. Yet, that kind of hip injury, is this a year process? Like, how long before Tua is Tua again?
This is a while.
This is a long time.
So a year easy.
Wow.
And, I mean, do you remember Dennis Pitta for the Ravens?
Yeah.
Yes.
Been wondering where he's been, but yeah, that was a serious injury.
So he had a hip dislocation, returned back to play, and I remember watching some of the games after he'd come back, and you watch him taking a route. He's making a cut to his right, and you see his leg just shift, and it did it again. Yeah. He actually ended up, I think, having at least two, potentially three injuries of that left hip.
That's right.
And you know, you piece it back together, but it's a small, shallow area of bone. If you've chipped away a piece in the back of it, and you got to let it heal. Nobody's going to push him on this return. This
what
is going to
be slow.
What
did they do in the surgery for him? What did they do?
So, depending on the size of that fragment, you either have to repair it with some stitches if it's just pieced away a sliver of that, or you have to put some screws in it. So it's a big surgery.
Man, what a shame, man.
That's horrible. Yeah.
That's terrible. I feel terrible because people use terms like damaged goods now, but they're talking about it like he's an asset of just like a bag of something. I mean, that guy had a great career ahead of him.
Yeah.
And just a few days away from it, more or less.
And they're commenting on like Bo Jackson's injuries.
Yeah. They're
commenting on the – because if you dislocate your hip, here's the other problem is now you have to worry about, did the blood flow
– stop.
Stop. And if the blood flow stops – you get necrosis of the bone. Mm. We've heard that term before, but
we sure have.
Yes.
Necrosis of the bone is something in which
somewhere.
Right,
I don't know where, but
your
bone
is degenerating, and there's really not much more you can do to it. I mean, you can maybe like stimulate some bone growth, but that may not do all of it.
There's pretty intense procedures to try to put new pieces of bone with blood vessels attached to them. So you're doing vascular repairs, you're doing bone grafting procedures. So it gets tough as you get into if you're trying to preserve a real youthful hip. That would be such a challenge for him to come back from if he got to that point.
Human nature, I guess, if he was able to come back from this, do you favor the one hip to where the other is susceptible or no? I've heard that about knees. Like, you know, you favor the knee and you worry about it and you worry about it and you're actually making the other one susceptible because you're not even thinking about it. Is that the same with the hips?
Well, will his other joints hurt for a while he rehabs, you know, as he's favoring the other side? Is he going to overuse one area? Sure, everybody does that a little bit. But as he gets back to full strength, you make yourself more symmetric. You focus on a normal walking pattern, and you try to share the load equal. And we sure wish him the best of luck and hope that he can recover, because it's a horrible injury.
Long way back.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, so when athletes come and ask you, or even teams that want some sort of evaluation, they probably ask you for a percentage. As Ed said, like, all right, can he return to his prior form? What would you give that percentage at in the NFL?
So, the prior form percentage, I'd give him 60-70% chance of returning to prior form. But the question is, how long?
Mm. Wow. 60-70%. At his age and at the shape he's in.
Yeah. It's an unusual injury for a guy to go through, and we got to just hope for the best for him.
He had a high leg sprain 3 weeks prior to that injury, and he was out for 2 weeks after they did some sort of surgery on the high ankle sprain on that same leg. Could that have contributed to this?
I don't think so.
Okay.
This was trauma in a really specific way to make the hip. I mean, when you get a high ankle sprain, you know, that's an ankle stability. Now, if that caused him to fall, but it looked like he got brought down by two guys.
Yeah.
Yes. So it doesn't look like that ankle had a lot to do with it.
Man, that's 60-70%. I'm glad Clay asked you that. That's amazing. I thought at his age he could come back 100%, but I also thought it would take a really, really long time. 60-70%. People are saying they won't let him slip past 12 or 15 because you get into the 15 range, you probably have a decent quarterback. So it's easy to say, let's take Tua and tell Tua you're on the shelf for a year. Mm-hmm. And we'll just make absolutely sure this whole thing comes back, and then we'll decide if you can play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, much like the kid from Notre Dame a couple of years ago now with the Cowboys, I mean, they lose so much money, and they've worked so hard to put themselves in that position, and you slip 10 spots in the draft, you're losing a lot of money.
They also talked about, should he delay? You know, should he
right.
should he wait and prove that he can do it and see
right.
if his stock
and
goes
not
back?
Going draft.
Yeah, as opposed to declaring. I don't know what he'll end up doing, but
I think he has to go and declare. But because to stick around any longer, you're just now you're going to get passed over by the younger, more
exciting. Well,
you're
not going to play
one.
At Alabama next year anyway, right?
Right.
If he's out a year,
yeah.
I mean, he just I guess he would just be rehabbing.
He would just sit out and let time go by, and that's sad to see. But for you though, over at Crivetti Orthopedics, now with the winter coming in and the snow over at Mount Charleston, and people want to get out more, what kind of injuries are you starting to see now? And what would you like to tell people as they start preparing for the winter holiday? Because I know myself. I get a little too over. You know, I want to go. I want to have fun with
you
my,
on the slopes. Is dangerous, my friend.
Right, right. But my
yes.
I want to follow my 8-year-old down the slopes. That could be problematic.
Yes. Could be. Yes. You could be in big
carrying
trouble.
You off Charleston to the Crivetti Ortho office. Oh.
Yeah. Now, the unique injuries we get in the wintertime are people whose foot's locked in a ski boot. So if the bone's going to get injured, it gets injured up a little higher. So people start injuring the lower leg. It causes knee injuries. So be careful if you're out on the slopes and if it's a little icy that day. Take a few of those corners a little more careful,
yeah.
Because you can slide out and hurt yourself in a hurry. Otherwise, you know, it's fun to go fast. I love to ski, so I'll be out there.
Go online, CrivettiOrtho.com. You can make an appointment there. You can request one, 990-2290, as well as ICANN again. Read the testimonials. They're fantastic, and I'm sure even for you, you love seeing that kind of, like, feedback coming in from former patients that have just, like, thank you, because now I can have that range of motion. I got things settled in my life now, and if it wasn't for Crivetti Orthopedics, where would I be? I'd be back on the couch moaning and groaning that, life has befallen me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our patients that's our success, right? We want people happy. We want people back to activity, and we want people to live their life. This is it's a beautiful place we live, and get out and enjoy it.
He says that now.
Yes.
Just wait till Monday when he's coughing. He's like,
when his phone goes off and they say we're transporting in a patient, they arrive, it's you, they've taken you off the mountain. It's all your SC joints are all out of whack, both of them, that you now know you have. You didn't even know you had them when you walked in there this morning.
No, I didn't. But I know if I needed a bone and blood vessels, I could come to you for a transplant.
Right?
Thanks again, yeah. Dr. Pittiger. It's great to
thank
have
you, buddy.
You. And we want to wish you and your family a really wonderful happy holiday. And thanks again for coming in, as you always do.
It's awesome.
Hey, I appreciate
awesome
it.
Stuff,
happy holidays,
man.
You guys.
Awesome stuff.
All right. When we come back, we'll be joined by Ryan Wallace at 7:45 or thereabouts, and we also have a chance for you to win two tickets to see Clay Walker, at the Golden Nugget this weekend.